This is Guildcast, episode 20, for March 22nd, 2006. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host Sean, and this episode is going to be my first Q&A show where I answer a few of the emails I've gotten over the last month. I'll try to do one of these as a bonus show at least once a month, but the only drawback to this being when someone asks me a question that they need answered right away, for example, like say they're trying to become ascended and they want to know the best way to beat the doppelganger with their monk, I'm sure they don't want to wait 2 or 3 weeks for me to answer them. So these types of emails I've actually will probably more than likely answer when I get them, or soon after. But I've selected a few emails for this month that I thought were good to answer here so everyone can learn something from them, hopefully. Now again, let me stress that I'm by far no expert in the game. I can help mostly with lower to mid-level questions, and usually if I don't know the answers, I'll research them. So that way we both learn something new. Also, Lady Sinea is sitting this one out, so the Sinea fan club may be a little disappointed, but her and I do have a special treat lined up for everyone on the show after this preview weekend that I think everyone will enjoy. And I will finally be having another contest next week after the preview weekend. It'll be a running contest held on Friday, March 31st at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will meet up in Amnoon Oasis, American District 2, on the dock. I'll make a post about this in the message board for a little bit more information, more details about it. I'll probably have Walmart Special take this one because my Mesmer Guildcast is only as far as Temple of Ages. That is, unless I can find a way to the desert by then. Now, the run will be from Amnoon Oasis to Destiny's Gorge, but with stops at Hero's Audience and Augury Rock to make it a little bit more difficult. This is a 3-zone run, so the winner of each zone will get 5 points, while survivors will get 2 points and dead players will get 0. The person who makes it to Destiny's Gorge first will get 8 points just for that zone, to make it possible for someone to lose a zone along the way, yet still take it at the end and win it all. And now on to the emails. This first one is from Master Zotos, who we've heard from on the show a few times. He says, "Hello, Sean. I wanted to drop you a line and give you more words of praise. I've listened to the show since there were all those commercials on it way back when. I never miss an episode. Every Saturday, I get the latest show. What a great resource. I do have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. My Warrior Ranger character has just become ascended, and I changed his secondary to Monk. I need your wisdom regarding my skill bar. I never survive solo outings. The Stone Summit always kicked the crap out of me. I use an Axe Zealot and have in my skill bar Power Attack, Cyclone Axe, Executioner Strike, Mending, Purge Conditions, Berserker Stance, and a few others. Could you give me a couple of ideas to experiment with? Thanks a lot for your time, Sean. I love Guildcast. Master Zotos." Well, thanks for the email, Master Zotos. And this email is actually a few weeks old, so I imagine you've gotten farther in the game by now. But on my own Warrior Monk, the monk skills I usually carry are only Healing Breeze and Rebirth, and I recently started using Mending, but that's only because I have a Victo's Blade that has a -1 health regeneration and the +3 life stealing. So I'll throw Mending on while I'm not fighting, just to keep my health up. But what I've found with using spells like Mending is the use of Berserker Stance in combination with mostly adrenaline attacks works great, because then you don't rely as much on your energy, which is next to useless when you have Mending on, and warriors don't have very high energy in the first place. And Berserker Stance recharges that adrenaline more quickly, so that if you use mostly adrenaline attacks and you use a Berserker's Stance to recharge the adrenaline for those attacks, it works a lot better than having energy. Plus, I find with my Vampiric Sword's +3 life stealing, Mending isn't really necessary during the heat of battle. Like I said, just in between battles I have it on. So basically, you need to take so many things into consideration when making your build. And this goes for any class. Not only your primary and secondary classes, but also your weapon, armor, and mostly what you want to accomplish with your character. farmers will have a completely different build from a Drox runner, who will have a completely different build from a jungle runner, or an Oro stance tank, etc., etc. And they might all still be warrior monks. But I think you made a good choice changing your secondary to monk. Even though there's a billion whammos out there, it's for a good reason. Now this next email is from Dark Kronos on the message board, and he says, I was loading up my iPod to the workday and decided to try out a podcast. Give that format a try. I googled gamer podcasts and saw a good number of returns. I then tried to see if my favorite game, Guild Wars, had one just for fun. I was surprised to see it did. I work at a computer all day, and with deadlines looming, I had overtime to do. I loaded all shows. It was fun to hear about my favorite topic all day long. I've played Guild Wars a lot and still found out new stuff. Yay for me. I missed the fun pre-searing exploit, but it was nice to hear how it all worked. Glad to hear ArenaNet reduced IDS drops as well. Even though I did not use mine, I like knowing I have it. I heard a rumor factions will allow for dual wielding, so I plan on doing a Fire and Icy Dragon sword combo. I think it would look awesome. Maybe dual wield two crystalline swords. Either way, I look forward to the faction's release. Has anybody heard any more about how alliances between guilds will work? My guildmates love PvE more than anything, though we do sometimes hit the arenas. I can only assume that you can ally with the same faction. That would make sense. I want so badly to know how the alliance setup will be done, as I made an alliance section to my guild site for future alliances, and I am just not sure if the information of what I put is useful or information a guild would need to know. I tried to guess. Also, I'm very curious. You obviously love the game a lot, so I can only assume you have a ton of gameplay hours on your accounts. Just how much total do you have in hours played? I have one account at almost 800 hours. Sad, I know. And I just bought a second, but let a buddy in another state use it to let him try out the game, as he may do factions now. Keep up the fun show, man. See you in Tyria. Alright, well, thanks for the kind words, Dark Kronos, and let me go through your questions and answer them one by one. First, you mentioned the dual wielding, and you're right about that, but it won't be like you said. It'll be a dual wielding only for assassins, and only with their weapons that are able to be used in that way, such as the daggers. I don't believe they're making dual wielding available in any other way so far. As far as guild alliances, I don't think the final word has been said about this in greater detail. It's just known that each guild can choose which side they will join, the Kurziks or the Luxans. But I haven't heard anything about how exactly this will be done, or if alliances need to be affiliated with the same faction. I imagine the guild leader will choose this. Now, as for gameplay hours on me, I just checked my character, and it says I have 847 hours on one account, and 93 hours on my other account. Which I guess isn't really a lot, considering a lot of people out there, but for those of you who don't know how to check this, you type /age into your chat window and it'll tell you. And for my next email, it says, Dear Sean, I don't really understand what necros are good for, and is a monk-necro combo good? If so, what would be your opinion on it? Last question, what is a good build for an advanced player? I just want your opinion. Thanks, Internet Warrior. Oh boy, I could go on forever on this one. I believe right now, out of the classes I've played, which is basically everything but a ranger, that the necro is the most useful and versatile class out there. Now, I understand rangers might challenge this theory a bit, but necros certainly are very useful in the game. First off, you can be a death magic necro, and the most common variant of this is the minion master. You create an army of minions that can cause an amazing amount of damage if high enough level, plus they're great for body blocking the enemies. Then there's the blood magic necro, which can do anything from give energy to spellcasters, steal life from enemies and give it back to you to heal yourself. You can make wells that give life and energy back to your group. Then there's the Order's Necro, who can make each physical attack from your party more potent. And then there's the SS Necro. Seriously, the list goes on and on. I think if you do a Monk Necro, it can certainly have its benefits. You can use the blood magic of a Necro to aid in healing, or use it to recharge your energy. Now, you ask what is a good build for an advanced player, but my best answer to this is experiment. After you play the game for a while and try out all the classes, you'll find what fits you the best and what you enjoy playing the most. Then you can also check out some of the major forums that I have in my related links section on the website and read about what others have tried and what works best for them. But it's basically, like I said, it's mainly what fits you the best. You know, you try out these different professions, you try everything you can, and you see what you like best. Because they're all different, really. Now, this next email is from MDudeMaster, and it has the subject of Signet of Capture. He asks, I have just ascended on my first character, and I was wondering how, why, when, where, what, and on whom to use it, meaning the Signet of Capture. I know at least people are supposed to use it in Dragon's Lair. Well, the Signet of Capture is something you put in your skill bar when you know there's a boss who has a skill that you're after. The Signet will capture that skill from the boss after he's dead and replace it on your skill bar with the new skill you've captured. Whenever I say on my skills and build segment something about, and you can capture this from, that's what I'm talking about. Most people capture only elite skills, since this is the only way to obtain them. They can't be purchased. But you can actually also capture any other skills that the boss uses. They can be used anywhere in the game that there's a boss. Okay, now on to the next one. It says, Hi, this is II Warlord II. I need to know, in your opinion, what is the best pet? Also, that little blue bar above the skills, well, when you die, that and the red bar next to it go down. And I was wondering, how do I get it back up? Because now I only have 8 in the blue and 96 in the red. Thanks for your time. I believe this email came before I did the pets show a couple weeks back. But to review a bit, I don't really have an opinion on the best pet because they're all pretty much the same. You know, they have the same AC, health, and damage dealt. The exception to this being the spider, who is said to attack faster, and the bear, who attacks slower but has a critical attack. I think pet preference is pretty much up to the individual. But that being said, I recently made a ranger who's now in pre-searing, and I'm going to make her a beastmaster. And actually what I might do is actually wait until Factions comes out and remake her, and you know, with a new pet, and make her in Kantha instead. But anyway, it does seem like ArenaNet is trying to promote the use of a pet more, which is another reason why I'm excited about, you know, the new pets that they're going to have in Factions. And as far as your other question, basically the red bar is health and the blue bar is energy. Both of these can be increased by the use of skills, weapons, armor, and your level. So don't fret right now, because you'll learn later on in the game how to better manage your health and energy, and just how important it is. This next email comes from Nerf Killer. He says, Hey, lately I've been wondering about what types of runes I should put on my armor and the effects of them. Maybe you could have an episode or just a section on runes and their effects. Thanks. I was also wondering what combo of armor are you currently wearing and what runes you have on that. Thanks again. Now, I will actually be having an episode all about runes one day, but I'm going to wait until after Factions comes out so I can talk about the new runes also for the Assassin and the Ritualist. And as far as the runes on my own armor, they may not be the very best, but I'll go down the list. Actually, let me name... You asked also what kind of armor I'm wearing. It's on... let's see, I believe you're asking about Walmart Special. So on Walmart Special, I have the 15K Gladiator's chest piece, whatever they call that, and 15K Gladiator's gloves, and then the 15K plate mail leggings and boots. And then I just have the regular Drakkar's Forge plate mail helmet. And they're all dyed black except for the chest and the gloves, because I like the gold trim on those better, actually. But as far as the runes, on him, on Walmart Special, I have a superior absorptions on all of the armor. Except for the gloves, I just have a major absorption. And on his leggings, I have superior vigor, which I really should have put on his boots instead, but oh well. On Priestess Julie, I have a superior healing, a major vigor, and a minor smiting for some odd reason. I think I started putting these runes on as I was finding them, before I really had a plan of what I was going to do. And I just kind of threw runes on every time whenever I'd find them. And that's pretty much how it worked out with her. On BBQ Ribs, I have Superior Death, Superior Soul Reaping, and Superior Blood. And I got those mainly to bring down her health a bit so that Healing Breeze can cover any sacrificing that she does, because she's an Order's Necro. And I'm debating whether I should get that Superior Curses rune too to bring her health down that extra 75 points. This next email is from Megla Zero, and it doesn't have a question, but I wanted to read it anyway to cover some ground that I didn't cover on my Ascension show. He says, I just found your podcast site today, and I was listening to your different casts from earlier on. And while I was listening to episode 4, I heard you giving some tips for people to ascend in the different classes. For the monk, you said he wouldn't use Healing Breeze, which he will if he has any degen on him. I'm not quite sure why this happens, but he will not fire it off unless he has a bit of degen on him. This works for any class, though. So if you have a Mesmer Monk, Ranger Monk, Elementalist Monk, Warrior Monk, or Necro Monk, you can just buy the skill in Ascalon and bring it on your skill bar. So long as you don't have to depend on degen to kill him, you should be all set. The Ranger Ascension is even easier than you had it made out. All that you need in your skill bar is multiple bow attacks, Troll Unguent or Healing Breeze if you have the Monk secondary, and Distracting Shot. Get right up into his face, and he will pull out his axe, thus making all your bow skills useless to him. Put on Troll or Breeze, and then start shooting him. After a while, he should try to get off a troll, which is why you have the Distracting Shot. Make sure that you keep your health regen on, since he'll keep smacking you with his axe unless he attempts to heal. But otherwise, just keep abusing your bow skills. He should drop in less than a minute. I haven't tested this on a Mesmer, but I've heard it's a very useful strategy. Put Empathy and Wastrel's Worry into your skill bar. Wastrel's will come off if he attacks before it's used up, but since he's a boss, it comes off after 1.5 seconds. You could also bring Pacifism, I'd suppose, and make sure you get that onto him before you start casting Wastrel's, so you don't have to worry about it coming off. An alternate strategy would be to go Mesmer Ranger and bring Serpent's Quickness or Quickening Zephyr to speed up the recharge time of Wastrel's, and mainly use that as your offense. I just wanted to say I really enjoy your show, and keep up the good work. Those are just a few tips I have for Ascension, and hopefully they'll help someone who needs it. This next email is from Puwede. I think I pronounced that right. He has a little pronunciation there, and it's Puwede. Yeah. And he asks a few questions. He says, hey guys, I was just curious about the following things that recent updates fixed, and I didn't give much thought to it up until now. How exactly were Bloodstained Boots fixed, and what was fixed with Resurrection Signet? Thanks, and keep up the great show. Thanks for the email, and the Bloodstained Boots were previously not doing what they were supposed to do at all, which is decrease the casting time of spells that target corpses by 25%, or a minimum of 1/4 of a second. And since since they fixed that with that update, they do that now. And as far as the res sig, I honestly can't tell you, and I have no idea. I even tried checking out on some of the forums, but I couldn't find anything. So if anyone out there wants to post something about that on the message boards, about what exactly was fixed, then go ahead, because I wasn't able to find anything. Now for this next email, it says, first of all, I'd like to say I love your show and have been a listener since episode 3. I think it's getting better and better, and I support you to continue the good work. I'm mailing you this message because I'm having some problems lately. You see, I'm a monk, and every time I try to farm, the other guys keep telling me, stick to healing. Since I love nuking, I'm a monk elementalist, that's really boring. Plus, I get the feeling I don't get as many items as the other players. I'd like to know if there's a criteria as to how items are assigned, because I don't understand why all I get are white runeless items when the other players get gold items and superior runes. I'm thinking of making an Invinci monk, but alas, I have got no runes nor money, and I think the reason is me not getting any good items. Is there an easy way to make money being a non-invincible monk? What about items? These are all my questions. I'd really appreciate if you answer them. In Balthazar's grace, I salute you. Draconic Emissar. Well, hate to break it to you, Drac, but your friends are right. You should stick to healing if you're a primary monk. Now, that's not to say don't farm, because like last episode where Lady Sinea talked about how to be an invincible monk, that's pretty much the best way to farm right now. And I would say if you're a monk, I would stick to healing or even protecting. Protecting, being a boon monk has a lot of advantages. But if you want to nuke, make an elementalist. A monk elementalist is not a very good combination, in my opinion. LEs have the benefit of energy storage, which is very useful for their energy-intensive skills. And that's something that a monk can't really provide. Now, as far as the drop rate and how it's distributed, there are a lot of theories with this, but none are really proven. Some people think that you have a higher chance of getting an ecto if you have ectos already in your current inventory. And the same goes with greens. People believe that if you have a green item and you go farming for greens, that you're more likely to get yourself a green. But none of that is actually proven. I think the only thing that has been shown to be consistent, yet not really proven, is there's a speculation that ArenaNet made it so that you have a higher chance of getting a green drop if you've never gotten one before. That way it prevents people from going in and farming for the same item over and over again. And I tend to believe this, since my first 6 times in the new tombs, I got 8 greens. But now I only get one about every 3rd time in. But then again, I've heard of people who have been there, 10 times and have never gotten one green drop at all. So who really knows? Like I said, I think that's mostly speculation. And for your last question about an easy way to make money in the game, this question is by far the most asked question of me. And I think I mentioned that before in an earlier show. But if I knew the answer to this, I'd be a rich guy. One thing I do know, though, is that since they nerfed griffin farming in the desert, all of the new farm bot monks have moved to farming right outside of Drachner's Forge in the southern Shiver Peaks. But I believe they're all mostly Invinced monks anyway. So until you get to that point, I wouldn't even try that. This next email is from a guy named Doug. He says, "Hi, my name is Doug, and I've been playing Guild Wars since release, and I love the game. But I have just a short, quick question. I was just wondering if there would be a part of the faction's release that is similar to the pre-searing of the core Guild Wars set, and if so, have there been any hints to what it may include? I personally found the pre-searing part of the game very fun and think it would be a great thing to put into factions. Best of luck in future episodes, Doug." Well, Doug, I don't think we really know for sure. I'm not sure if anyone has announced it, but I'm really hoping we find out in a couple of days, actually, on the factions preview weekend. I've heard several people say that there will be a pre-searing type training period, and I heard in a recent interview with Jeff Strain, the co-founder of ArenaNet, that there will be an ascension point in factions also, and it will come at a much sooner time than the ascension point in prophecies. So with that said, I imagine that the pre-area of Kanta will probably be a lot shorter as well, but it will certainly be exciting to see what they have in store. So that'll do it for this Q&A show. I hope I was able to provide some useful information, and I hope I give a good template of what future Q&A shows might be like. Our next show will be coming out more than likely on this Monday night with our review of the factions preview weekend, and then back to the regular schedule of shows every weekend again after that. But I wish you all the best of luck this weekend during the preview, and I'm going to try to take as many screenshots and notes as possible for my review on Monday. But until then, tell your friends, tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.